After Dark.
After Dark.
After Dark.
After Dark. After Dark. So with Lavender Mafia After Dark, we're going to talk about sexual themes and some kinky shit sometimes, right?
Yeah, so put the kids and the pups and the subs to bed. This is not for their ears.
Love that. I'm just thinking about what our topic actually is going to be, and the subs should definitely stay. Like,
I don't know. It might be fun for them to be surprised.
So, yeah, if this isn't your jam, like, feel free to stop now. But if it is, which I hope it is, like, stick around.
And if it's not, thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's definitely, there's no shame in leaving us now. No worries. All right. So, what is our topic?
Let's get gross.
Let's get kinky.
If our moms are listening, please also stop now.
Yeah, moms, can you go away, please? Oh God. I said kinky and my mom was listening. I should have said that sooner. So what's our topic today?
What do you think? Should we talk about BDSM?
I don't even have to get a sound effect. Yes. Yes. Let's talk about BDSM.
I've been looking forward to this topic.
Of course you have. Well, I've been doing some practice for this topic, so.
I've been practicing for this topic by myself during pandemic.
All right, so why don't you start us off?
All right, so real quick introduction. BDSM usually stands for bondage, domination, and submission. And sadism, masochism. The S does double duty there.
Right.
Let's take the letters one by one. Maybe talk about some examples of what that could look like.
Sure.
What are some ways that bondage can look like in a relationship?
I think bondage can be something that it's like for me, and Erica, one of the things that we enjoy can be just like tying your wrists together, or being tied down on the bed or something like that. What do you see bondage as? Like, what is it for you?
Something I've been thinking about a lot with this topic is like, what's the boundary between so non-kinky sex, often talked about using the term vanilla, not meant to be a pejorative or an evaluative statement. It just means not the kinkier side.
Yeah, vanilla is still delicious.
Yeah, we love vanilla.
Yeah, it's the base for a lot of great desserts.
100%. And like, where's the sort of boundary between vanilla and like the kinkier stuff? It can get kind of fuzzy, and I think that's okay.
Absolutely.
Like with bondage, I think like a sort of low level bondage could be like pinning your partner or like
without even having ties. Yeah.
Yeah. And that might be a way to get into it if this Absolutely. Is not something that has been your jam, but you're curious. Interested in it.
Yeah.
You can also use ropes, that sort of thing, like you were talking about. I really like handcuffs. Mm. I just think it's sexy. And it's easier. Like, I'm a person with disability. My right hand doesn't work very well. I can navigate putting handcuffs on a partner more easily than I could tie knots in rope.
Yeah, that's good. I think bondage can also be like the thing that, I don't know how to say this, but, I like strappy things on my partner. Mm-hmm. Like when my wife has like anything that's strappy across her stomach or across her chest, I like that. For some reason, it's definitely a turn on for me. Mm-hmm. And so I understand like when when ribbons or ropes are used to be wrapped around a body, like in a sexual context, I'm like, well, that's hot. Like, why is that hot? And it's like every body part, like boobs, like, or, you know, like lower body parts are like covered, but I'm like, whew, like really turned on by that. And I think that can also be considered bondage. I think even in a non-partner sense, if you're doing something like for yourself, or you're enjoying yourself, like there are ways that you can utilize bondage to enjoy yourself as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the sort of leather aesthetic is, there's a lot of overlap here too, and like harnesses are really popular, especially among gay men. And there is a very explicit element of like bondage there. Like,
absolutely,
you put a harness on an animal that you're trying to control. Like, that's hot when you put a harness on a boy.
Absolutely. It's really funny. I didn't know a lot of the terminology, and I've grown so much over the past couple of years, but my friend Gabriel, who is a partner with me in another organization, we were leading worship at a queer Christian conference, and one of the things that he did was he wore straps nice. On stage, and it was a way of like saying like, we're loved too. Like, you can be a sexual being who enjoys leather and like, you know, kinky play, and still worship and lead, you know, in worship. And I don't know, I loved that.
I love that too.
Yeah, it was really great. And also Gabriel's gorgeous. And I was like, yeah, you fill my 20% for sure.
I have a harness that's like a little bit more of a low-key kind of harness, and I'll wear it out. Especially like in the before times, if I were going on a date with a boy, particularly one that I like wanted things maybe to go a little bit more quickly, because
there's a sign, right?
Gay men, like, they see the harness and they think sex, but it's also, it can be safe, because like when straight people see a harness, they don't think sex. Mm-mm. Like, I've gotten so many compliments on my suspenders whatever, when I harness out, like, oh, you're adorable.
It's great when a straight person does recognize, because then you know their kink culture, and they're So what about the next part of the BDSM?
Okay, next one is domination submission.
Why don't you start? How do you identify?
I invite any of our curious listeners to come find out.
I think you already told us how you identify. So go back if you're curious. I'm pretty sure you already alluded to it.
I like to be on the more in control side of things. Domination submission refers among other things, a playful kind of power dynamic in a relationship, especially during sexy times. The dom being the one more in control, the sub being more, well, I mean, it's right there in the name, submissive, there to serve the dominant person.
I think it's important to say here that the dominant person is playing control. I think the actual control is in the sub's hands. Because the sub is the one saying yes or no to things. The sub is the one that can call, like here's my what's the word? And we have a word like broccoli, and we mean
safe pepper. Word.
Thank you. The sub gets to call the safe word, right? Mm-hmm. Dom is running the show, right? But the sub is the one that says, these are my limitations. Mm-hmm.
I experience it very differently. I think the person running the show has the control. Like, the veto vote is very important. I don't experience that being where control is.
I think that's because you're that much of a dom that you need to believe that this is like 100%, you're in control. You're the one. And like it is, because we're calling the shots. I just said we. I just outed myself. We're calling the shots. But at the end of the day, I think it's important for a sub who, I often find that people who are subs are people who have control issues and who need to be dominated, who need to be like not in control, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, like it's actually the deepest of the control issues to be a sub, because you're saying, I need to be able to say yes or no to this, but also let someone else run the ship.
Mm-hmm.
So it's obvious, like the thing that I love about Dom sub is like, to the naked eye, to the person who doesn't know anything about this, they're going, oh yeah, they're in control, they're not. Actually, you have to be equally partnered in this. You have to equally agree on this relationship, you know?
Yeah.
And I know the term switch is popular in the BDSM community. And outside of BDSM, the term might be verse. They're kind of similar. Some people are switch. Some people like to play either role.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, though I often fall into a dom position, at least more recently, I'm also totally, at least in my relationship with my wife, totally up for being like, even in the middle of play, for that to change.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I trust her. There's so much trust there that I can absolutely let go with her, but no, not really anyone else in any other situation, especially even flirting. I'm like, no, I'm in charge, bitch. So it's interesting. What about, is there anything else we want to talk about when it comes to dom and sub that we think is important?
I don't think so.
Okay. What about that last part? Sadomasochism.
Yeah. Sadomasochism. Sadism referring to deriving pleasure from inflicting pain. Masochism referring to deriving pleasure from receiving pain.
I feel like when people think of BDSM, this is what they think of the most, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. It's the whips, it's the riding crops.
Yeah. It's the call me daddy. It's the like it's some of the, it's probably the element of BDSM that can sometimes become toxic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the dom sub relationship has the seed in it too.
Yeah,
like
for
the power imbalance to stop being a role play and to become real.
Absolutely. Because for some people, BDSM is their lifestyle.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily an escape. Like it's a whole culture, kink culture. Right, it's not just like, okay, I need to escape from life, and this is like what I do sometimes with my partner.
How can we describe the appeal of S&M for somebody who might not understand the appeal? Or does it hold appeal for you?
I would say it does. I think the thing that's interesting is so many people assume that like I am a kinky person, like for whatever reason. And I would say for a long time, I wasn't into kink. I'm very much like, I want to make love. Like, I just am like, I'm such a deep lover. Yeah. And I think one of the things that I've grown to appreciate and love about, because so many of my friends are into kink culture. Like one of the things I've grown to love and appreciate about BDSM and kink culture is that there's a real emphasis on consent. Like, I think that everyone should have to take a BDSM 101 or kink 101 class, like in high school, and like learn about consent and like what is real yes, what is real no, how do we communicate in sex, because there's tons of communication. I was listening to basically a BDSM 101 class one time, and the guy is has a woman up there, and he's spanking her, and he's basically in the middle of, as he's spanking her, he says, now if you noticed, she said, I checked in with her, I said, is daddy hitting you too hard? And then she said, she affirmed it, like, because he felt that when he spanked her this one time, he felt that her body changed its, like, it went from arching her back to a different, like, her body turning forward, mm-hmm. which gave him the signal that it was no longer pleasurable. It was painful. Right. And then he checked in with her, but it was still sexy. Mm-hmm. And then she said, yes, daddy. And then he lightened it a little bit in his hit, but still played the role of, like, of what she wanted intellectually. Cause it's a mind experience more than a almost more than a body experience sometimes.
Yeah.
And so, like, listening to that interaction and hearing, still getting turned on and being like, oh no, that was still sexy. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, consent can still be sexy. And yeah. I just learned so much just in that 1 5 minutes. And so for me, I feel like we could all benefit from knowing more about BDSM and how they talk and communicate. And yeah, I don't know. That's my thought.
Yeah, the image just came to mind of a roller coaster, like the feeling of danger in a roller coaster is only fun because you know you're safe.
Yes.
And I think that BDSM is a lot better at that than maybe a lot of the people who are not into kink culture, because mm-hmm. we're so much more conscious, where we tend to be so much more conscious about the possible pitfalls of sexual activity. But when we check in, we're telling our sub that you're safe. You can enjoy this experience because you know I'm going to take care of you.
Yeah.
Like, that's something that we didn't talk about in the dom sub thing, but the dom is meant to care for the sub, or absolutely. At least I think that healthier BDSM relationships will reflect that.
I completely agree with you. And yeah, in answer to your question before, it's something that has continued to grow in our relationship with me and Erica. It's something that I've found pleasure in certain aspects and continue to grow in that pleasure of as I learn more and learn more about myself. You know, we all change. Mm-hmm. Our turn-ons change, you know? And it's nice to be in such a trusting relationship that we can try new things and see if it works. Mm-hmm. I think something that's also important to say here, and I actually was thinking about this earlier on in the episode, is that it could be a real healing place. Like, there are things that might have been, I've talked about this recently with a couple of friends actually, which is something that had induced trauma, an experience that might have caused trauma can be healed here, right? Like, if it's physical trauma. Yeah. So I think sometimes it's like the emphasis on queerness, right? We take back things, like we take back, like, the word queer, we take back the word bitch, we take back things that have been used to hurt us, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's true for even physical trauma, like if you've been a victim of physical abuse or further than that. Like, I think there are ways that you can say, like, no, I want to take this back. I want this to be mine again. And I've definitely experienced that, personally, and then as well with other people that I've been counseling on or coaching on sexual things, and I think. So, like, maybe something like an example of that would be, like, maybe if you've been physically abused at first, you want to be, like, in a dominant position, mm-hmm. like, so that you feel like you have control. But then when you're able to allow yourself to be submissive, it means that that relationship is strong enough for you to trust that individual with something that you were feeling, like, unsure about from mm-hmm. previous. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So I feel like it can be a healing place, which is really cool to think about that. Something I wanted to mention with the dom and sub thing is I've actually, when it comes to disability, when it comes to my wife having a disability, it's also true that you can start off being more of one thing. And then as your life changes and your experience changes in it can change the way that you experience sexual pleasure. Mm-hmm. It can change the what is a turn on for you. Like, I've had in my own experience with my wife, as well as with other friends who have chronic issues or disabilities, they have gone from being more of a sub to needing to feel that they had a little bit more control. Mm-hmm. And taking on more of a dominant, realizing, why am I not turned on by this anymore? Like, I don't understand. I used to be more of a sub. And then me suggesting, why don't you try dominant play? Like, or being the one that's in control of things, even if you are sub. Like there's a term for it, especially in the gay boy community, being a bottom that's actually a top.
Power bottom,
yeah. So I feel like that can be really helpful for people who are experiencing certain things in life. And it might be temporary, but it's cool to work. It's cool to think of sex, and especially in kink and BDSM, as being a place where you can experience some sort of healing of whatever's going on in your life.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Yeah. One of the things that often attracts us to dom or sub roles is that we get to experience in the bedroom something that we're not experiencing outside. And those of us with disabilities, we're often passive in ways that, or we often are treated as passive in ways that can make us feel helpless in some obvious ways for those of us with motor disabilities. Like, at one point I had to be pushed around in a wheelchair. Like, I don't think I've ever felt more helpless than when I was not even in control of where my body was.
Absolutely.
And that can make role play domination really fun. Or you might just be attracted to it because we're sort of bulldozers of personalities.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit of column A, maybe a little bit of column B. Oh, when you brought up power bottoms, there's another fun sort of sub dynamic where the sub is in power. They call it the brat.
Oh, my wife is like a total brat sometimes.
Really, like, hesitant or reluctant or resistant to being submissive or subservient. Like, the few times that I've been a sub, I've almost always been a brat. Like, it can be a lot of fun.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Oh my goodness. Yeah. We did a test. Speaking of BDSM, our group of friends did a kink test, which is, do we know where it is? Do you remember what the
BDSMtest.org.
Yeah. And it's honestly great for anyone that's into any flavor of sexual encounters. Like, it teaches you a lot about like if you do the full test, the full fledged, not the simple one, the full fledged test, you can get a really good idea of like, what are your turn-ons? What are your turn-offs? You know, where do you kind of like your personality in sex? And they use BDSM and kink culture terminology.
Yeah.
But we did it in our friend group, and there were some of us that had not even been sexually active, and it was really cool for them to understand more about what they might be into when they do become like sexually active. So I think it's the thing that I love about this segment is sex positivity. We absolutely want to accent that you can be like, we are as beautifully made in God's image in all parts of ourselves, like including our sexual experience, you know, and sexuality. So really important to us. And it's fun to talk about these sorts of things. It's definitely what we talk at least 60% of our conversations are about this, and the other portion or 50% is that, and 50% is spirituality. So it's only fitting.
Yeah. I love thinking about sexual ethics, and I love thinking about this topic or other topics in terms of, how do we live this out in a particularly Christian way? Like, how do I love my neighbor when I'm making them my sub? Like, I think you can.
No,
100%. I think we've talked about some of the ways by by checking in, by making sure they're having a safe and enjoyable time.
Yeah, I say all the time, especially more recently, that like one of the things that in society we've, and especially in evangelical and conservative society, is that we've forgotten how to love people. Mm-hmm. And how to love people well. And like the second most important commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, if you don't know how to love yourself, then how will you love your neighbor well, right? So I feel like to have a positive sexual experience or any like life, friendship, relationship, to have a positive sexual experience, though, you need to know how to love yourself. And yeah. And that means knowing what are your turn-ons? What are the things that matter to you? Like, mm-hmm. what feels good? Because if you can walk into a sexual encounter and sexual experience with another person and be confident in what you're into, I think you're going to have a much more enjoyable experience for both of you.
Yeah, absolutely.
I actually recently, I don't know if we'll... if we'll add this into the podcast, but I was recently asked to submit a note on sexting, and specifically like for lesbians, and it was for Cosmo magazine. I don't know if it will awesome. If it'll ever get there, but I wrote this little piece, and I thought it would be good to like share here because we're talking about consent. So I said consent, communication, and confidence. Consent can be as simple as asking to send a sexy pic. This shows a lot of respect for the other person and makes it pretty clear you care as much, if not more, about their needs than your own. This leads right into communication. Communicating your needs and wants pure and simply leads to more satisfaction for both/all of you. This leads to confidence. Knowing you are beautiful/handsome, that you deserve to be loved, and the things that turn you on give you the ability to ask for those things and clearly communicate your boundaries, which leads us right back to consent. The circle of C's, the circle of sexy C's. Now go get freaky and sexy, babes. And I thought I loved being able to write that because mm-hmm. I feel like these are tools that I've learned because of kink culture and poly culture and queer culture. Mm-hmm. I would not have landed here if not.
Yeah, I love that, especially the emphasis on communication. Like, how am I supposed to love you if I don't know what your flourishing looks like? If you don't tell me, like, what you want out of our friendship, our relationship, our dom-subship.
Our 30 minutes of sexual encounter. Like, it can mm-hmm. be as simple as that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, even though this was heavy, I loved this topic and I can't wait to continue doing this with you. I love you.
Yeah, I love you too. I'm having a lot of fun doing this. Especially when we talk about whips and chains and shit. Mm. Our amazing music is written and produced by Evan Coles of Springwood Productions. Speaking of Springwood, I just want to thank them for recording, mixing, and producing our audio. Without them, this podcast wouldn't be happening. Springwood is made up of passionate creatives who are really easy to work with and professional, and they really know their stuff. So if you need anything like video or audio production, or they can really do anything to help your music or business. Like, they got me Taco Bell one time, for God's sake. So go check them out at springwoodproductions.com.